Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Tonight, I'm going to build a foundation into what we don't say. What we don't say. What do we not say? I mean, last week, as I was setting it up, I want you to understand that every time something comes out of your mouth, not only does it affect others, it affects you. It affects what's going on in your own mind. It comes out of your mouth, comes back into your ears. It was already born in your thought process, and then it comes out your mouth, and as the word comes out your mouth, it just goes right around back into your ear, and it says something about who you are. And it tells yourself that, whatever you're saying. And I gave you a caution to never let your own ears or your own tongue predict your own defeat. And I continually hear people say something that I'm like, don't say that about yourself. Don't say what you're saying. And have you ever heard that and you want to correct them, but you're like, you can't say, quit saying that. You know, to a parent, to a peer, don't say that. And you're, I can't believe they just said that. The words that I hear people say, and they're just joking about it, but I mean, we all do it. Wow, that just kills me. Don't say that. That kills me because I don't want you, and I know you're saying it in a way, sometimes it's, that was really funny, and I understand that thought process, but this is killing me. And people will be serious about, this is killing. You just heard yourself say that you're getting killed. And what I want to do is I want to be careful that I don't let what comes out of my mouth predict my defeat. So we got to be careful and we got to listen to what we're saying because a lot of times we don't even realize it. Have you ever heard a coach at a game that has a chant right before their start or they'll come into huddle and they always raise their hands and they all put their hands together and they go, what do they say when they go down? There's a lot of different things, but one of them is win, win, win. I remember hearing that a lot whatever it is they're trying to get in their hearts. What the coach is doing, he's trying to get them to believe what's coming out of their mouth and going back in their ears so that they are victorious. So there's a reason for that. A salesman, if you've been through any sales training, you stand in front of a mirror, and I know that there are times in my life I have done this, and I will listen to what I'm going to say to someone else. There was a season where I would preach my own message to myself before I'd preach it to anybody else. I'd stand there and I'd look right in the mirror. Now that's kind of, somebody comes in, you're like, well, what are you doing? Huh? I was praying. You liar. You're talking to yourself. Now, some of you are like, well, I never talk to myself. Well, you might want to try it. Hear what you're saying to yourself. Hear what's coming out of your mouth before you open. Men, women, if you're married, this is a great thing. Try saying what you're wanting to say before you walk in the door in the car. I'm just telling. You hear those words. Have you ever heard words come out of your mouth? Now, don't just in your mind agree. But have you heard words come out of your mouth and you're like, did I just say that? I can tell you why you said it, because you didn't practice it. It didn't come out of your mouth until right then. You're like, who wish I could take that back? And so words are just powerful. We talked about last week homonyms. I did practice that word this week. We talked about homonyms and the idea that the English word can have two meanings. Well, then I talked about a word out of the Hebrew, devarim, which means words. And that word out of the Hebrew basically is the same word that describes bees and describes words. And we talked about that. You remember that last week? Bees and words. Well, in Hebrew, even though homonyms, we understand them from the English word or the English language, how two things can mean the same thing. You know, when we're thinking of deer, we're obviously not thinking of an animal. We're thinking about our wife, deer. And so as we think about things like that and homonyms, they can mean two totally different things. I'm really endured to both when I'm talking about deer, but they mean two different things. Now, The word in Hebrew that explains words and bees, they have a connection. Every word that means something different in the Hebrew have a connection. And so what would bees have to do with words? And I said, what words has to do and bees have to do is what comes out of bees can either be hurtful or can be honey. See, it can be sweet or it can hurt. Well, that's what words do. And so we want to be careful that our words are sweet that are coming out of our mouth and not causing hurt to others and especially to ourselves, because they can heal you, they can hurt you, and we want words to be sweet and produce good things. Well, to start what I want to speak on tonight, I want to talk about swearing. Swearing. Now, you may be sitting there tonight and say, well, I can just go to sleep. I wish I'd have stayed at home because I don't have a problem with swearing. Swear words don't come out of my mouth. All right, well, before you go to sleep, let me say this. It is important that you understand about swearing, because every one of us in this life will be exposed to swearing. And as you are exposed to it, and many times it's on the job, it's with friends, it's with family, and a curse word will come out of someone's mouth. And I know a lot of Christians who have to deal with this and are trying to clean their mouth up in certain areas. But the swearing that goes on, I want you to have a biblical approach to help someone who might be dealing with this. Man, I'm trying not to say that. Well, when you get educated on why we don't swear, then you might be able to help someone else. And so let tonight be a teaching avenue for you. I remember the first time I heard this was from a rabbi, Daniel Lappin, and I'll never forget as he was explaining this, and then I read it in a book that he had out, and it just came alive to me that the Hebrew language, what God intended for our language and what comes out of our mouth, is to be edifying. And swear words do not edify. So, okay, so that's all we need to know about it. No, we got to dig deeper and find out what it means. See, in the Hebrew language, very, very profound, there are no curse words. In the Hebrew language, you will not find a word, a swear word. You just won't find it. It's not in God's language. Well, you say, okay, so those that speak Hebrew never cuss. Everybody knows that in every language, there are all different types of jobs that they could hold. And in certain arenas, you hold a job and cussing is probably more prevalent, or swearing is more prevalent. Well, it's the same thing with people who work jobs. So you're saying that people who speak Hebrew never swear. I didn't say that. They just don't swear in Hebrew. They have to adopt another language. They have to use Arab swear words to cuss. So when they cuss, they just use another language because they can't use God's language to cuss in. And I found that very amazing, that they're still going to let a foul word come out of their mouth, but they're not going to let God's words come out of their mouth foul. See, because God's words don't swear. So by definition, there are no swear words in Hebrew. Now, God never intended for us to use our mouths the way I see our culture using their mouth. I want you to hear what I'm saying. When I was a kid, and I love this phrase because I'm old enough now to use it. When I was a kid, you did not hear the swearing on television, on nightly TV, that now are adopted words into our society, and we're okay with it. Now, we're not. Obviously, there are times you're like, why do they have to say that? You cannot go to a movie. I mean, there was not PG-13 when I was growing up. And PG was more PG than what it is today. And G was more G than it is today. I don't know how to say that. The general audience didn't get exposed to what now the general audience is exposed to. And all those that are 40 and up are nodding their heads and going, yeah, I agree with that. Since in our society, cussing has become such a normal occurrence, we need to understand why it has. You know, because there is an agenda to it. And if you understand this, you get a hold of something that will benefit the kingdom by having this knowledge. The question that you might have, why is it so bad? And those that curse say, that's just the way that I was brought up. Or that's just the way that everybody I hang around does it. And I'm trying to clean my mouth up. Why is it so bad? Here's the thing. It doesn't benefit you. It doesn't benefit you. The only job that I can think of that will benefit you to cuss in is some rap songs that say explicit when you're on iTunes. I don't run through rap songs anyway, but I have seen explicit songs on there. And they're making money off of the more explicit they can get. Because we have a generation of young people who don't know Jesus, and some that do and don't see a problem with it. And this church is going to teach what the problem is with it. Because I think it's very important to understand that in songs, swear words are starting to sell. And Christian, we've got to have the right understanding as to why it's not right. Oh, come on, it's not that bad. I hear those. Well, there was some cussing in this, but it wasn't that bad. Well, how bad is it to where you draw a line and say, that's not entering into me? You know what I mean? I don't know. Three principles tonight. Three principles tonight why using swear words is a bad idea. I just want some real practical teaching tonight. The first one is it hinders your chances for success in every part of your life. It really does. It hinders your chances for success socially. Guys and gals that are not married, hear me. It hinders your chances romantically. It hinders your chances in business. It lessens the number of quality people within whom you can interact. That's what it does. It shuts out a certain amount of people. See, sales is one of the best jobs that are available, and there's always something that needs to be sold. And it is a job when you're good at it, you'll always have a job. In sales, you'll always have a job if you can sell something. And I know people that can sell stuff, and they're really good at it. Regardless of what you want to do, spend some time learning about sales, and it will teach you a lot about biblical principles. Because to sell something, you have to have people. And to have people around you, you got to learn how to talk. There's lots of people who do very well in sales, but I don't know one of them that do very well that use foul language when they're trying to sell something. See, they're very important not to throw out an obscenity. Most think that if you're around friends and you're others that cuss, that, okay, now it's okay for me to let my guard down when I'm with them, and then I'll just shut it down at other times. What you're saying is that when you're with friends, you can do this, but when you're at a job interview, you wouldn't say these things. Has anybody here, and I want everybody to look around, has anybody here sat through a job interview ever? Look around. Chances are, at some point in life, you will sit through a job interview. You will. And everybody here would probably agree that during a job interview, it's not wise to use a curse word. And statistically speaking, there's a lot of things I could tell you that would back that up. If you cuss in a job interview, chances are they're going to the next person. Because it's going to reveal something about your character that they're not interested in. Here's the thing. People think they can refrain from talking bad in certain situations, but then at home and with friends, you can just let her fly. It is very hard to stop doing something that you do most of the time. It's very hard. See, the way we talk becomes a form of habit. The natural thing to do is just to continue doing what you always do. So let's say you're a young man and swearing has become your normal way to talk around all your friends. And many of us can identify with this, and I won't have hands go up, but when we were younger and weren't living for the Lord, there may have been a time or a season in our life where everybody else did that, and it was just a part of your normal everyday speech. And so it's just who you really are. It's just part of your soul. It's your mindset. And it's not that you want it to be, but it's just the way I talk. And you convince yourself that that's okay. And then you're going for a job interview, and you really want to do well, and you think, and you're telling yourself all the way in there. I know there's a lot of people been right there. You tell yourself the whole way, all right, I can't swear while I'm here. I got to watch what I say. I really got to watch what I say. Well, if you're not swearing anyway outside of there, it's going to be real easy not to swear when you're in that job interview. But you're having to prepare your mind to where I can do this because I'm just not going to do this at work. But when I'm with my friends, it's okay. I'm just not going to do it in this environment. Well, let me tell you, you're fooling yourself if you think you can stop what's already in your mind. If it's already in your mind and you haven't been practicing it as I started out speaking tonight, then more than likely an obscenity will come out at some point. You may get through the job interview, but people can't just stop cussing whenever you need to. See, you can't live like that. And let's say you're the one in a million who can. You have an amazing ability to not use it when you don't want to. There's still trouble here. And I want to explain the second reason of the three that I want to give tonight. See, doing so, I'm not going to do this. I'm the one in a million who don't ever, I can fool everybody here, or I can keep my words like this here, and then I can keep my other words like this over here. Here's what happens. The second point is that it reduces your fluency in communication. Now, this is some psychology here, but effective communication is very important. Cussing, obscenity, language that is not edifying is a lazy way of talking. It's a lazy way of talking. And because what happens is there's one or two or three words that you end up falling back on because those cuss words you can use as a verb or an adjective or an adverb, and you can just throw them in wherever you need to. Let me give you an example without cussing. I will use the word blank. Well, that's blank good. You can fill in a blank there, and you can in your mind put something there. Instead of saying, man, that was very enjoyable. See, but we're going to use a cuss word to explain something. We're going to try, because we can't use enough words in the English language, so we just default to a lazy way of talking. And people who use curse words all the time, I can tell you their vocabulary is shrinking. It's not gaining. It's shrinking. Blank, did you see that car? I've heard this, and they just don't understand. Can you not just say, wow, how amazing that car was. Did you see that? What? There's just two ways of saying the same thing, and one's a real lazy way that didn't grab near the attention that the other one would. And so you get the meaning. You can put things in words without using vulgarity and accomplish so much more, because there's way more words than what cuss words offer us. Some of the best communicators I know, and I shared this last week, work hard on learning new words to increase their vocabulary. I joked about I invent my own words. That's really not on purpose. I think they're words until everybody laughs at me. So I'm trying to get better at that. If tragically you were raised in a way that you didn't learn the fullness of vocabulary, if that's the case, I want you to understand that it's not too late to start learning new words. As I said, in school, in most schools, we have spelling. We have in Christian Ministries Academy, one of our missions of this church, we have word building. Well, I think that's appropriately named, because we're going to build on words. We're not going to stop just at a cuss word. See, that the foundation of what our society is doing is trying to get young people to bypass all these great words in the English language and just default to cuss words. And I say it like this. You got to use the right tools for the job. For all those that enjoy working on cars or things or building, maybe this will speak to you, because I've been here 100 times and I don't even enjoy it. And it makes me even that much more mad when I'm trying to build something. And I mean, a hammer does no good when you need a screwdriver. It just, last week I got a little frustrated. I was taking a cabinet apart and I had brought my screwdrivers to take this thing apart. I had to take just a mirror off a dresser. And mirrors off dressers aren't a big deal. And every mirror I've ever taken off a dresser had a screwdriver. Not this one. It had an Allen wrench. And I needed so bad an Allen wrench. But the Allen wrench that would have been available to me was an hour and a half away. And so I had a screwdriver. Well, I'm sitting here trying to think, what would my grandfather do? Because he can just make tools. Or could. And I've watched him do this 100 times. He don't have it, he just make it. He's not going to the store. He'll find an old piece of steel and just start grinding it up to what he needs. Well, I thought, there's some rocks out here, and I know there's where some steel is. I'm gonna figure this out. And so I went out and started looking, and I found a little screwdriver. And it was a little too big. And so I'm like hitting it on the counter, trying to smash one end of it. It didn't work real well. But I finally got up there. And you know, an Allen wrench will have a place where you can actually stick a flathead screwdriver. And I got that mirror off. But it took me 10 times longer than it would have if I would have had the right tool. See, you're slowing yourself down when you don't have the right words. You're slowing yourself down. It's like having a tool that's not, you're, everybody here has used a wrench for a hammer. Everybody has needed a hammer at some point, and whatever you had, you thought, I'm going to use this for a hammer. I have done it countless times with screwdrivers, and I have countless times broke the head of the screwdriver. See, everybody here has done, what we're doing is we're using words that weren't intended to be used in the circumstances that God gave us to use the right words in. So we're defaulting to a word that's not benefiting us. Are you getting what I'm saying? The greatest variety of words that you have access to and you use, it's way easier to convey exactly what it is you're trying to get out of your mouth. When curse words are used to convey what you're trying to say, you're going to bring frustration to the situation. Everybody's going to go, ugh. So asking for a raise, how do you do it? How do you do it? If you're using cuss words all the time, if you're using wrong words and you're wanting to get across, here's what I want you to know. The employee that knows how to ask with the right words for a raise, studies out there show this, 60% more people get a raise when they use the right words. You need a raise in your job? You better know how to communicate that. This is one place that you're probably not going to hear this teaching at a lot of places. But I think it's real important. The fluency in communication will benefit your life. And please know that if you're around people that do, you could help them by having some of this knowledge. See, the less you develop your vocabulary, the less you will be able to succeed in life. There's a correlation between the two. Now, one additional problem. Everyone has seen someone suffer in their inability to communicate. Everybody here has. Let's just say that you're looking for a job and you're going into an interview, or let's even get more personal, you're wanting to get a date for those of you that are not married. I'm just telling you, I would not be married if I didn't know how to talk. What happens is you start blocking your mouth from bad words coming out. Aside from not having a full toolbox of words that you need because your default has been set wrong for so long, you haven't got the right words to use. Let's say you come up with them. Just to use a word that you usually put a vulgar word in for, you have to halt and break up your fluency of speech as your brain tries to find a replacement word instead of using the word it's accustomed to. See, the word that it's accustomed to is the default word. Everybody has worked with somebody who knows what you know what I'm talking about. Their default word, and they're trying not to cuss because they just got introduced to somebody you go to church with. And so you're sitting here there, and I had a friend that I invited to church one time, and I told him, now listen, I know how you talk all the time. Please don't do that at church. These are all my friends. Well, I'm your friend. I said, yeah, you are. And I'm friend enough to you to tell you to be quiet. He defaulted in Sunday school. And I was not mature enough to know that he needed to be there. And everybody, the Sunday school teacher, was so gracious and nice and kind. But I didn't have a clue how to tell him not to say it. So what he was trying to do is trying to communicate, and he couldn't come up with another word. He just didn't know one. That was his default. And so he had to use a word. We were just talking about one of the Bible stories, and he thought it was amazing. And so he was using a cuss word to make them all go, wow. What's wrong with just wow? I mean, what happens when you're in this wanting to get a date or you're wanting to get a job? Your mind is racing ahead of time trying to find the proper speech. You're trying to find a better word than the one that's coming into your mind. And as you're trying to communicate something, then you pause because you lose the ability to come up with the right word, and then you lose your thought process on what you were even going to say. I've seen this happen time and time and time again. When you're looking for a word to replace what you would have said, your mind cannot keep up correctly with the conversation. You might say, well, I don't use that language. But you're around that language all the time. Let's just talk about that for a second. If you hear it a lot, eventually, when you're dealing with something or you hit your finger with a hammer, you've heard other people that you work on the job with hit their finger with a hammer 100 times. It may not come out your mouth, but it comes into your head. And so you stop it and you're like, I can't say that. I can't say that anymore. And I hit, that's a good starting point to change how you used to think. But know this, the reason that's coming into your head is not only because you haven't found a replacement word, but it's because you haven't found a replacement environment. Exposing yourself to that kind of talk all the time, you let your mind heads there even if your mouth don't. Because remember, all words start with a thought. And so we want to talk the way that others talk. We do? Yeah, we do. It's a tendency of human nature to talk the way others do. If you spend any time in another country, every time I go to Honduras, I don't speak Spanish, but I come back speaking Spanish in my English. I don't know why, but when you're talking to someone who speaks Spanish and then you're talking English, you start like adopting a different way of, and I, well, good grief. My wife says, when I've been to Hot Springs or spend any time with Tim Brooks, I start talking Arkansas-er. That's not a word either. But I start talking in a way that is not the way I normally talk. Have you ever done that? Spent time with somebody or been maybe to another country and you come home and everybody's like, what's going on? We go to Ohio and my wife, everybody there thinks that I must be from like South Texas. And my wife, she doesn't sound like all the people from Ohio, but yet that's where her bloodline's from. Bloodline has nothing to do with it. Environment has everything to do with it. Who you're hanging with is how you start sounding and how you start thinking. Remember Clint Eastwood? Go ahead. Make sure that you. Do you know President Reagan said that as a warning to Congress? And there was a big deal made about that several years ago when he said that to Congress. And you know what was made such a big deal is everybody said, obviously he's been watching that movie. Well, obviously you're right, or somebody has. You can't be around my mom, and she starts quoting movies all the time. Josh Gunter, he starts quoting movies all the time. I've been around several of you, and you like quote movies. How do you do that? You've watched it. And more than likely to quote a line from a movie, you've watched it more. Any movie quoters here? Okay, good. So you've watched that movie enough that it gets in you. So I want you to understand that language is adopted. It's adopted into how you speak, how you communicate. It's based on environment. The third reason that using vulgar language is a bad idea is because deep down in your heart, it makes you think less of yourself. This is the really big one that made me go, wow, I never thought of this before. And I have been in discussion with several people, even people in this church. As I learned this, it made me realize so much about how people think of themselves when cursing is their way of life. See, they start thinking that they're undeserving of God's love and success in life and their happiness. And let me explain this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life. He breathed the breath of life into his mouth, and man became a living person, or in some translations, a living creature. That's what it says in Scripture. And so as you study that, the Hebrew word for living creature, he used the same verse in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and he used the same Hebrew word when he was talking about making a fish. A fish became a living creature. Well, so did man. He became a living. Well, what's the difference? See, he called them both a living thing, used the same Hebrew word. Well, I thought people were supposed to be unique. People are supposed to be unique. Genesis 1:24, he made the cattle and other land creatures. Same Hebrew word. if man is different from any other living creature, why is he referred to with the same word in the Hebrew for living creature? The same phrase for all. Fish, cattle, people, we're very similar to the animal kingdom. I'm not trying to give PETA any help, okay? But we are very similar to the animal kingdom. Really? Yes, in our created person, we are. They can take animal parts and implant them in humans for certain things. There's some similarities here. And so we've got to be aware of how easily we can start looking just like an animal. We got to be very aware of this. Chapter 2, verse 7 in Genesis. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Scholars on the Hebrew language have agreed that we're talking here about God granting the ability to speak. No other animal, and I know that there are YouTube videos of dogs saying, I love you. But they're not really communicating that. Because you are not, I mean, a dog is always going to love you. I'm just telling you, I heard it put best. If you don't believe that a dog will always love you, put a dog in your trunk for 4 hours and then open it up and see what he does. He's going to love you. Put your wife in the trunk for 3 hours and see what she's going to do. See, there's a difference. Dogs are always going to love you. God made us unique with the ability to communicate with our mouths. We're the only ones that can do that. When we use our mouth, we don't use it for the noble reason oftentimes that it was created for. And see, by rejecting our God-given humanity, we emphasize our animal side. And when you start talking with trash, then you start looking like an animal. Doing so, see, it overwhelms us with insecurities. And the devil knows this. If he can get you set apart, not a part of the God's kingdom, and make you a part of the animal, we're not moving toward the things of God oftentimes because we're doing things against the Father's will for our lives. And we're doing it with our mouth. See, when we're in violation of doing what is right, then we're not in a position to where we're seeking God and his will and wisdom for our life. Get this. The devil knows that if it's okay to get people swearing, it reduces them and makes them ineffective for the kingdom. That's what happens. A part of their human dignity is stripped away. So much vulgarity comes in the form of toilet words. There's only three ways you can cuss. There's only three ways. And I was like, wow, really? Yeah, you can only cuss by using a toilet word, one that has to do with bathroom functions. Or you can cuss based on sexuality, or you can cuss by taking the things of God in vain. That's only three. And you'll be sitting here right now running cuss words through your mind. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just telling you, all three of those are the only way you can cuss. All of them will go back to one of them. See, and if we can get an understanding of this, the devil wants to strip away your human dignity. Well, how does he do that? If you take toilet words, sexual words, and words that are against God, and you take those out, you won't have a cuss word. There won't be one. All cuss words will go right back to one of those three. See, take the private areas of the bathroom and the bedroom and expose them to your speech. You're basically equating yourself with the animal kingdom. Here's what I want you to know. Toilet functions, humans are the only one that cares. You think your little Fifi or Fufu or whatever your dog's name is cares about, well, he doesn't want a potty in the house. He don't care. You've just trained him. But humans care. Humans care. The Bible was real clear on what it says we're supposed to do with our waste. And we don't go to the restroom in front of people. It's embarrassing. We go find privacy to do that. An animal don't care. Go to Keith's farm and tell me if any of his animals care. They don't care. And so when we start using toilet words, every other word, then we're saying we don't care to just talk about our toilet functions, and we are demeaning ourselves and putting ourselves just like an animal. I'm like, wow, I never thought of that before. So toilet words, out. Sexual words. Do you know we're the only people in the whole animal kingdom, and we're not a part of the animal kingdom, but understand what I'm saying. If we can be reduced to that, then you look like it. And we're the only people who reproduce privately. Animals don't care. Animals don't care. You have to put a bull in a whole other, you have to have two or three fences oftentimes between them, and that don't always even work. Bull's going to go wherever he wants to go. See, we're, and they don't care who's watching. We do, or we better. See, but if you can reduce yourself to not caring, then all of a sudden you don't look any different than an animal. And that's the devil's objective. And then the last one is to take the Lord's name in vain or to take any of his things and say, you can't say this word because it comes against God. If we can take God out of the picture by our words, then he's not going to come on the scene when we're saying things. See, so all three of those, if we can get those out of the way we think, our souls are shaped by the things we do and the things that we stop ourselves from doing. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you tonight. Our character is the result of our habits, not of our thoughts. You see, thoughts are far too fleeting and they don't have much impact. But if we use our thoughts to start regulating our actions, then our actions will become our habits, which are good habits. Then those habits transform our characters. Then our character will determine our destiny. Now that's a lot of big words. You might have to rewind and get that and hear what I just said. But we've got to make sure that our thoughts produce the right words and then our words become habit. But you don't want cussing to be a part of your habit because then that affects your destiny. I want my words to affect so much that it becomes my habit and then that becomes my character. And when I hit my hand with a hammer, I go, ah! I don't let a curse word fly and it don't even enter my mind. Why? Because habitually it hasn't been there. So then my thoughts not affecting where I'm going to end up. This is really good stuff if you're hearing what I'm saying. Well, Pastor, this is all great. How do I fix it? You've got to deploy and develop a habit. You didn't get a habit of brushing your teeth because you thought of it every night. You had a parent who said, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth. And then it becomes habit. It just becomes habit. Catch yourself when you say something vulgar. That's the first step that you've got to do to fix this. And say the complete sentence again and don't use the vulgar word. Now, if you're going, Pastor, but I don't have a problem with this. Well, then help teach somebody this. Clean up your job atmosphere. Have a sit down with your employees and say, let's just talk. I want you to catch yourself before you say something vulgar on this job. Now, not just say don't do it, but I want you to rephrase that sentence. If they're an employee of yours, make them stop. Say that again and don't use that word. Now, they'll have to think about it a second because that's a default that they go to. But come on, Christian people, we've got to impact this world for the kingdom of God. Go back and repeat it with a better selection of vocabulary. I'm going to say that again, but I'm going to say it different. Write down a list of the profanities that you tend to use most. Write them down. Oh, I don't want to say. You've been saying that word. Go ahead and write her down. Write down what you say. And then over to the side of that word that you've been using and you're trying to clean up, come up with about 10 other words that you learn and you put into your vocabulary so that becomes your default instead of that word. I'm just giving you some practical application that I can tell you will make a difference. You might write, ouch. You might write, whoa. You might write, man. You might write, ah. But write something other than that cuss word that comes out of your mouth when you get hurt. So we got to reprogram our thinking. And the last thing that you need to do to fix this is you've got to resist obscenity exposure. O-E. If you accidentally go to a movie that has a whole bunch of obscenities and cuss words and things in it, get up and walk out. Don't feed your mind with that filth. If you're friends with someone who's continually cussing, excuse yourself politely and get up and go somewhere else. Or in the nicest way you can, talk to them about it and say, I've been working on this and I want you to help me because I want to be around you. And those words are not what I'm wanting to use anymore. Now you might pray about that and go speak what you're going to say to him in the mirror before you open your mouth. Work on your words and see if they can't benefit your life. If you start becoming Mr. Goody Two-Shoes because I just don't know if I can do that. I don't want everybody to think, that's so biblical and all he's thinking about is, huh. You got to tell people you're cleaning up your act or you won't clean it up. If you're not willing to tell people, I'm a changed man, I'm a changed woman, I'm doing things different, then chances are you're not a changed man and you're not cleaned up and you're not different. Now, I'm just laying that out. Is it real? Is it real? You decide where you're going to end up. You make that choice. Real change only comes from a desire to do it. And I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody tonight, but I know young people, they're going to deal with this at some point. In all the environments and all the friendships we have, see, you're going to clean this up for a few days. I'm not talking about a few days. I'm talking about a life change here. My vocabulary is different because of what God's done in my heart and life. But there are things that I had to work on and I had to change from coming out of my mouth. And I had to change my default. And I had to put other things in there. So please don't just hear the message that say, don't do this. Let's make some changes in life. And let's, well, I've only got one or two things I say. Well, let's work on those one or two things. You might say, I don't have a problem with this anymore. God, when he saved me from all those words. And I don't have them anymore. Great. Who are you teaching to save from it? Who are you encouraging in this life? This is a message that I believe parents, we've got to be able to communicate to our young people so that we're not putting down their friends. We're showing them there's a different way. I never heard any of this growing up. I wish I would have had this teaching growing up, because then when those words came out of my mouth, I'd realize I'm looking like an animal right now. And I didn't even think about that. But when you use that toilet word, you just said, I'm not worried about keeping my toilet areas private. When you use that sexual word, you're just saying, I don't care. But we are a human being with dignity, and we are to operate with human dignity, and that means keeping that stuff private. I'm not saying when you go to the restroom, use that word either. I'm just saying that word's not to be exposed to make us look like an animal. Y'all get anything from that tonight?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.